One of the plans for the Agenda 21 2030 Sustainable Development Goals project is that the masses will be huddled together in smart cities, and people will gradually be forced to move away from rural areas into these cities through a series of carrot and stick policies. Smart cities are essentially hellish, futuristic urban prisons for the destitute masses to live in, surveilled, controlled, and tracked through a Big Brother artificial intelligence that employs a China-style social credit system, zero freedom, and a cashless society so that all financial transactions are monitored. Internet of everything will be ubiquitous, and so you'll be connected, or should I say shackled, to this technocracy, whether you like it or not. Those who refuse to conform will be marginalized to the fringes and left to endure a kind of virtual gulag, cut off from the rest of society and unable to access basic services which the oligarchs will control. When these same elites create these propaganda videos with nice-sounding buzzwords like smart solutions, integrity, innovation, sustainability, sustainable growth, environmentalism, clean energy, equality, equity, blah, 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 they're always referring to planetary resources that everyone needs: food, water, nature, healthcare, money, electricity, agriculture, industry. And so their plan becomes obvious for anyone who can read between the lines. Their intention is to control all of these things, to control the means of production and all of life's essentials, everything a human being needs to live. Once they control all of these things, they can force you into any kind of world that they wish to create and essentially turn you into a serf. Now, as I've discussed before, in June of 2019, the United Nations and the World Economic Forum signed a strategic partnership framework with the aim of accelerating the implementation of the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. It was a meeting held at the United Nations headquarters between UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres and World Economic Forum founder and Executive Chairman Klaus Schwab. Both the World Economic Forum and the UN appear to have similar goals. The World Economic Forum's Fourth Industrial Revolution appears to have overlap with the United Nations Agenda 2030 Sustainable Development Goals project, and Agenda 2030 sits within Agenda 21, so a partnership between the two organizations seems to be in their mutual interest. This article is from the World Economic Forum from 2016. Welcome to 2030. I own nothing, have no privacy, and life has never been better. Except, of course, for the technocrats who design such a communist utopia. They're the ones who will no doubt have all the privacy, wealth, and property they want. Freedom and liberty are no longer for the proles, it appears. This article sounds like a parody. Now, the reason I'm discussing this article again is because recently the World Economic Forum changed the title to "Here's How Life Could Change in My City by the Year 2030, which is obviously a much less jaw-dropping title than the previous one. The article is 4 years old, and the title has only recently been changed, likely due to backlash that the World Economic Forum has been getting lately. And remember, they also recently removed that video from 2016, which was on their Twitter account, 8 Predictions for the World in 2030. You'll own nothing and you'll be happy. Whatever you want, you'll rent and it'll be delivered by drone. You'll eat much less meat. You know, that video. Now, if you search for this article on Google, you can still see the original title. It's 2030, I own nothing, I have no privacy, and life has never been better. But when you click on it, it says, "Here's how life could change in my city by the year 2030. So I think it's clear that making this change is probably about trying to hide their true intentions or downplay what they really want. It should come as no surprise that the general public are seriously against the idea of owning nothing. After all, if the general impoverished public don't own their property, someone has to, right? Who does own it? Well, presumably, the extremely wealthy and powerful. This is ultimately why the Great Reset is a giant wealth transfer to the 1%. The idea of abolishing private property is just communism 101. Anyway, for today's video, I'm working off an archive of the original article before the title was changed. Welcome to the year 2030. Welcome to my city, or should I say our city. I don't own anything. I don't own a car. I don't own a house. Imagine thinking you could actually frame this in a positive way. I don't own any appliances or any clothes. It might seem odd to you, but it makes perfect sense for us in this city. It sounds like a prison. Everything you considered a product has now become a service. We have access to transportation, accommodation, food, and all the things we need in our daily lives. As to how this is paid for, who knows? One by one, all these things became free. So it ended up not making sense for us to own much. First, communication became digitized and free to everyone. Then, when clean energy became free, things started to move quickly. Transportation dropped dramatically in price. It made no sense for us to own cars anymore because we could call a driverless vehicle or a flying car. For long, yeah, in 2030, flying cars in 2030. For longer journeys within minutes, we started transporting ourselves in a much more organized and coordinated way when public transport became easier, quicker, and more convenient than the car. Now, I can hardly believe that we accepted congestion and traffic jams, not to mention the air pollution from combustion engines. What were we thinking? Though our world has never been perfect, it at least worked and once actually valued meritocracy. For those who wish to build a perfect world, a utopia, they always inevitably create a dystopia. The road to hell and to communism is always paved with good intentions. Sometimes I use my bike when I go to see some of my friends. I enjoy the exercise and the ride. It kind of gets the soul to come along on the journey. Funny how some things never seem to lose their excitement: walking, biking, cooking, drawing, and growing plants. It makes perfect sense and reminds us of how our culture emerged out of a close relationship with nature. Environmental problems seem far away. In our city, we don't pay any rent because someone else is using our free space whenever we do not need it. Right, so someone is in your home, which you don't actually have a home, when you're not there. Happy with that level of no privacy? My living room is used for business meetings when I'm not there. It's hard to take this article seriously. It sounds more like a parody written by a naive teenage socialist. If you can't own your own home and private ownership is a thing of the past, then you're at the mercy of state-enforced collectivism. To bring about such a world would require significant top-down control and totalitarianism. Once in a while, I will choose to cook for myself. It is easy. The necessary kitchen equipment is delivered at my door within minutes. Since transport became free, we stopped having all those things stuffed into our home. Why keep a pasta maker and a crepe cooker crammed into our cupboards? We can just order them when we need them. This also made the breakthrough of the circular economy easier. When products are turned into services, no one has an interest in things with a short lifespan. Everything is designed for durability, repairability, and recyclability. The materials are flowing more quickly in our economy and can be transformed to new products pretty easily. Environmental problems seem far away. Since we only use clean energy and clean production methods, the air is clean, the water is clean, and nobody would dare to touch the protected areas of nature because they constitute such value to our well-being. So in other words, you don't have freedom of movement? In the cities, we have plenty of green space and plants and trees all over. But what if you want to go to the rural areas? Apparently you're not allowed. Actually, go where you want now. I still do not understand why in the past we filled all free spots in the city with concrete. And everything is perfect all day long, everywhere, right? Every day. And no one goes hungry. And we all live in a Star Trek-style imaginary wonder planet of infinite resources and rainbows and kittens, right? But it's the last part of that paragraph I want to focus on. So the bit about the air is clean, the water is clean, and nobody would dare to touch the protected areas of nature because they constitute such value to our well-being. In the cities, we have plenty of green space and plants and trees all over. This is important because what they're telling you here is that people will not be able to travel where they want to rural areas down the country kind of thing. You'll have to live in a smart city. So there'll be great restrictions on your movement. You won't be permitted to venture out to the natural environment. Your self-driving car simply will not permit you to go there. You'll be able to commute between cities and urban areas, but not into the countryside. That privilege will be reserved for the uber-rich technocrats who will enjoy luxury mega homes in beautiful, unspoiled, and idyllic remote locations surrounded by nature. they'll have it all for themselves. Now, the environmentalists who support this kind of stuff, they argue that depopulation of rural areas is an important part of restoring biodiversity and preserving the environment. Basically, most people will live in these kind of AI-controlled metropolitan super city menageries like cattle. Already, we can see the manifestations of Agenda 21 in terms of how countries are changing property planning and zoning. This article is from Stovuno.org. Agenda 21 and how it plays out. New Zealand is in the process of introducing a raft of measures to implement Agenda 21 by undermining traditional private property rights. These include legislation to enable the control or requisition of private land for the purposes of rewilding or for urban development. Here is some background to Agenda 21 and a look at the American experience, particularly with regard to the way the concept of biodiversity is used to negate property rights. Major goals of Agenda 21 include the abolition of private property, the demise of rural living, exclusion of humans from wild areas, the abolition of single-family homes, government control of food supply, mandatory birth population control. Like all similar UN documents, Agenda 21 is full of positive values that nobody seriously disagrees with in principle, such as care of the environment and adequate housing for all. Like similar documents, Agenda 21 assumes the anthropogenic global warming narrative as a non-negotiable premise, assumes biodiversity as having a value that supersedes human rights, asks for greater roles for the UN and the corporate-owned NGOs. The two planks of environmentalism, climate and biodiversity, are used to justify interference in the lives of people that can only be described as totalitarian. Likewise, the current pandemic crisis we're going through is being used to force new social controls on people and take away their individual, inalienable liberties and freedoms, all introduced by the same kinds of organizations, the United Nations, for example. COVID-19 is essentially an accelerant for the Agenda 21 2030 plans. The Agenda 21 encapsulates and refines the policies of the UN bureaucracy as developed and flagged over several decades, such as those relating to private land ownership. According to the United Nations Conference on Human Settlements 1976 Habitat 1 official report, land, because of its unique nature and the crucial role it plays in human settlements, cannot be treated as an ordinary asset controlled by individuals and subject to the pressures and inefficiencies of the market. Private land ownership is also a principal instrument of accumulation and concentration of wealth and therefore contributes to social injustice. If unchecked, it may become a major obstacle in the planning and implementation of development schemes. Under the Vancouver Declaration, the section of the official report of Habitat 1 that was available for formal signature, states commit themselves to the following position. Land is one of the fundamental elements in human settlements. Every state has the right to take the necessary steps to maintain under public control the use, possession, disposal, and reservation of land. Every state has the right to plan and regulate use of land, which is one of its most important resources, in such a way that the growth of population centres, both urban and rural, are based on a comprehensive land use plan. In Agenda 21, this becomes 15.5i, develop policies to encourage the conservation of biodiversity and the sustainable use of biological and genetic resources on private lands. It is clear from the way Agenda 21 is being implemented that encourage means compulsion through legislation, taxation, and local authority zoning. So this is why it can be harder for people to get mortgages in certain rural areas of their country. For example, they're doing this here in Ireland as well. The United Nations view of private property is that the state has the right and should be exercising this right to take land for environmental reasons in order to fulfill an environmental agenda. This is in conflict with the culture of countries like New Zealand, which assumes that universal private home ownership is the best way to achieve equal opportunity, security, and happiness for all, and thus, private property rights should only be interfered with for the purpose of essential public works, such as motorways. Agenda 21 was theoretically succeeded by the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, but both Agenda 2030 and especially 21 have largely been abandoned by the United Nations and its proponents because of the negative connotations and replaced with terms like sustainability and resilience. Thus, while the EU produced a progress report in 1997, termed Agenda 21, the first 5 years, it now refers to sustainable development in the European Union. The US experience Agenda 21 and the Wildlands Project. The Wildlands Project proposes that 50% of American territory be wilderness reserves, largely no-go for humans, bloody hell, surrounded by buffer areas and joined by wilderness corridors with human beings largely confined to urban areas, smart cities. Publicity of the scope of the project led to the US Senate failing to ratify the UN Convention on Biological Diversity. Meanwhile, back in town, it is not just farmers and rural dwellings that are affected by Agenda 21 policies. The UN strategy for high-density urbanization and reduced property rights is playing out in towns and cities as well. In 2005, the Supreme Court, Kalo versus New London decision, allowed a Connecticut town to seize private property not just for public use, but also for private development, thus paving the way for councils to do deals with developers at the expense of the property rights of homeowners. The Urban Development Bill, currently before the New Zealand Parliament, is similarly designed to legalize the forced acquisition of private property for commercial development. California lawmakers are taking steps to eliminate single-family zoning by enabling all residential lots of properties in California to be legally converted into multiplexes. It is inevitable that standalone dwellings in the state of California will ultimately be a thing of the past. Basically, the pod life, it sounds like. The planning department of Carroll County, Maryland, drafted a smart growth plan. They put smart before everything. You know it's a bad idea when they do that. Which proposed what has been termed a breathtaking reshuffling of land rights, and which clearly serves the UN agenda of using biodiversity to eliminate single-family homes with gardens. The plan includes downzoning of agriculture land to prevent future subdivision by farmers, upzoning of low-density residential land around small towns into higher-density zoning to permit construction of hundreds of possibly thousands of inclusive housing units, including apartments and condominiums. And there's been plenty of this going on in Ireland over the past few decades. The building of horrific eyesore apartments and houses with no gardens or front driveways, just shared car parking spaces, endless urban sprawl, basically rabbit hutch towers that look oppressive, to be honest, more like cell blocks than homes. And of course, as I've said, it's much harder to get mortgages in certain rural areas of the country. Anyway, back to this absurd World Economic Forum article. The death of shopping. Shopping. I can't really remember what that is. For most of us, it has been turned into choosing things to use. Sometimes I find this fun, and sometimes I just want the algorithm to do it for me. It knows my taste better than I do by now. Sounds like some people want a machine to do all their thinking for them and to just live as mindless drones. Notice that God and belief in transcendence never factors into any of these utopian ideas, mainly because God liberates humanity from the tyranny of man. That's why communists hate religion so much, especially Christianity, because it places God as the ultimate authority above man. My biggest concern is all the people who do not live in our city, those we lost on the way, those who didn't want to live like tracked and tagged cattle, those who decided that it became too much, all this technology. Those who felt obsolete and useless when robots and AI took over big parts of our jobs. Those who got upset with the political system and turned against it. They live different kind of lives outside of the city. Some have formed little self-supplying communities. Others just stay in the empty and abandoned houses in small 19th century villages. Actually sounds not too bad by comparison. Once in a while, I get annoyed about the fact that I have no real privacy. Once in a while, nowhere I can go and not be registered. I know that somewhere everything I do, think, and dream of is recorded. I just hope that nobody will use it against me. All in all, it is a good life. Yeah, because this is an imaginary scenario. In practice, though, it would be as hellish as China is right now. Speaking of China, have you seen this Wall Street Journal video from 2017? It sounds like the blueprint of where they want us to go in the West. In this Chinese city, Xinjiang, there's heavy policing everywhere, like a war zone. Constant government surveillance of the populace, facial recognition, constant police checkpoints. You know, it's basically hell. Everyone is on the system. Everyone is tracked all the time. Every move you make is monitored in this city, and you're checked multiple times per day.
To be in Xinjiang means being checked every day, multiple times a day. When you go to a market, when you drive a car, when you take a train, even your smartphone is checked.
But what I found most striking was what this wine store owner said. He says, "It is really cumbersome. Nobody wants to do anything anymore. The police check my ID so many times, I don't want to do shopping anymore." And that's very interesting because this is how more and more people in the West are starting to feel under social distancing rules. Now, obviously, China is a good deal further down the road, but not much worse at this point. The social distancing, temperature checks, obsessive hand sanitizing, queuing all the time to get into buildings, app tracking, that's all happening more and more in public venues in Western cities. And it makes the prospect of going outside very undesirable indeed. As I've said before, it makes the populace associate being around other people in public settings as a pain, an unpleasant experience, and therefore something that they prefer to avoid. This encourages people to stay at home, do their shopping online, speak to people over the internet rather than in person, and become more isolated, cut off, and alone. I don't think anyone can deny that the entire world is now beginning to look and feel much more like China as each day passes.